Exhalation by Ted Chiang. Read for you by Eduardo Ballerini, Dominic Hoffman, Amy Landon, and Ted Chiang.
The Merchant and the Alchemist's Gate. O mighty Caliph and Commander of the Faithful, I am humbled to be in the splendor of your presence. A man can hope for no greater blessing as long as he lives. The story I have to tell is truly a strange one, and were the entirety to be tattooed at the corner of one's eye, the marvel of its presentation would not exceed that of the events recounted, for it is a warning to those who would be warned, and a lesson to those who would learn. My name is Fuad ibn Abbas, and I was born here in Baghdad, City of Peace. My father was a grain merchant, but for much of my life, I have worked as a purveyor of fine fabrics, trading in silk from Damascus and linen from Egypt and scarves from Morocco that are embroidered with gold. I was prosperous, but my heart was troubled, and neither the purchase of luxuries nor the giving of alms was able to soothe it. Now I stand before you, without a single dirham in my purse, but I am at peace. Allah is the beginning of all things, but with your majesty's permission, I begin my story with the day I took a walk through the district of metalsmiths. I needed to purchase a gift for a man I had to do business with, and had been told he might appreciate a tray made of silver. After browsing for half an hour, I noticed that one of the largest shops in the market had been taken over by a new merchant. It was a prized location that must have been expensive to acquire, so I entered to peruse its wares. Never before had I seen such a marvelous assortment of goods. Near the entrance, there was an astrolabe equipped with 7 plates inlaid with silver, a water clock that chimed on the hour, and a nightingale made of brass that sang when the wind blew. Farther inside, there were even more ingenious mechanisms, and I stared at them the way a child watches a juggler, when an old man stepped out from a doorway in the back.
"Welcome to my humble shop, my lord," he said. "My name is Basharat. How may I assist you?"
"These are remarkable items that you have for sale. I deal with traders from every corner of the world, and yet I have never seen their like. From where, may I ask, did you acquire your merchandise?"
"I am grateful to you for your kind words," he said. "Everything you see here was made in my workshop, by myself or by my assistants under my direction."
I was impressed that this man could be so well versed in so many arts. I asked him about the various instruments in his shop, and listened to him discourse learnedly about astrology, mathematics, geomancy, and medicine. We spoke for more than an hour, and my fascination and respect bloomed like a flower warmed by the dawn, until he mentioned his experiments in alchemy.
"Alchemy?" I said.
This surprised me, for he did not seem the sort to make such a sharper's claim.
"You mean you can turn base metal into gold?" "I can, my lord. But that is not, in fact, what most seek from alchemy."
"What do most seek, then?"
"They seek a source of gold that is cheaper than mining ore from the ground. Alchemy does describe a means to make gold, but the procedure is so arduous that, by comparison, digging beneath a mountain is as easy as plucking peaches from a tree."
I smiled. "A clever reply. No one could dispute that you are a learned man. But I know better than to credit alchemy."
Basharat looked at me and considered. "I have recently built something that may change your opinion. You would be the first person I've shown it to. Would you care to see it?"
"It would be a great pleasure.
Please, follow me."
He led me through the doorway in the rear of his shop. The next room was a workshop, arrayed with devices whose functions I could not guess. Bars of metal wrapped with enough copper thread to reach the horizon, mirrors mounted on a circular slab of granite floating in quicksilver. But Basharat walked past these without a glance. Instead, he led me to a sturdy pedestal, chest high, on which a stout metal hoop was mounted upright. The hoop's opening was as wide as 2 outstretched hands, and its rims so thick that it would tax the strongest man to carry. The metal was black as night, but polished to such smoothness that, had it been a different color, it could have served as a mirror. Basharat bade me stand so that I looked upon the hoop edgewise while he stood next to its opening.
"Please observe," he said.
Basharat thrust his arm through the hoop from the right side, but it did not extend out